Consume, the podcast about things that I, Chris Osborne, and my co-host
Neil Davey
have recently consumed and found pleasure or happiness by doing so. Okay, and we're here. Feels like it's been a little while since our last episode, but
23rd of May. I looked it up.
Maybe about a month.
We have obviously disappeared into a heat wave and
yeah, it's really hot.
Dramatic
so
storms.
We have found somewhere to drink, to get some shade and have something cold to drink.
With yeah, our
Sontag coffee,
which I know you've mentioned.
I've mentioned here in the past. On the pod before, and I love it. I've been here a few times. Very close to something else I mentioned, the art classes I'm taking. So sometimes before, after, I might come here depending on my classes. And that's the Sunny Art Center, which is great. In fact, we're here because I'm going there after we record this. And Kingsway.
Yeah, well, you're 65 Kingsway.
Yeah, very minimalist decor.
She's very echoey.
Like a Muji lover's dream kind of. Kind of more of a Japanese version of a coffee shop.
Yeah.
With really good coffee, but also really good matcha drinks. In fact, what are we having, Neil?
That's a very good question. This is
sea salt
matcha latte.
Yes.
Which was something you recommended to me. Matcha is something that has, I think mentioned last time, has not passed me by. Has something I've tried a couple of times, haven't necessarily fallen in love with it. I've had some it was great, really refreshing.
Yeah.
As you say, once you remember to stir it, and don't get just the sea salt in the last three mouthfuls. Very, very refreshing.
Yeah,
as well. Day by today, this has been an excellent pour.
Yeah. No, also, just like I tend to drink matcha more than coffee these days, and I'm making my own cold brew matcha.
Interesting.
Which is really easy to do.
Yeah, yeah.
I just need a little bit of space in your fridge and a little bit, 12 hours or more, maybe 24 hours really to let it brew. And I love it. I love the way matcha makes me feel. Really
I guess
nice.
There's a little caffeine, but not as much as coffee.
It can be even more than coffee, but it's the way that it disperses. So coffee is going to give you a jolt, might even make you jittery, and then it goes away. There could even be a crash. And I'm saying this as a huge coffee lover.
Yeah, yeah.
Matcha is going to disperse it. It sort of disperses the caffeine over an extended period. So, and it eases up. It does. You don't get a crash. You won't get jittery. You won't get a crash. So it's a nicer feeling. It's also coffee is very healthy for you, despite what some people might think. But matcha is really healthy too. I mean, anything green and plant based. That means it's lots of antioxidants and stuff like that. So it's apparently really good for you. And so I actually like the taste.
It's grown on me. I think I had a very early experience with matcha where someone had coated some dessert in it and it was just dry and grassy and incredibly bitter, and you didn't really this can't be what people enjoy. And clearly it wasn't. It was just a bit of a fuck up on somebody's part. This is genuinely.
It's delicious. It's refreshing, huh? Okay, good. I think the last time I had a matcha with you was, I was having one anyway. You might have a coffee, was at a Panadera.
Yep.
Which I've also been back to a number of times. And something they do that's great there. You need to try, I think you'd love it, and that's the ube toast.
Okay.
It's kind of like a slice of a very mild cheese with like a ube spread on like that thick bread that they do,
Texas toast bread,
it's phenomenal.
Nice.
Yeah, what's also phenomenal that I've had there, I know I mentioned it here, was their Pandan Crush, which is, Pandan's one of my favorite sort of sweet flavors, and I don't know if I'm just finding the right places or if there's a trend going on, but I'm having a bit of a Pandan moment here in
the
deal. Yeah. So the Pandan Crush.
It's the summer of Pandan.
The Pandan Crush at Panadera. It's really great. It's like a frozen pandan and coconut thing. Also, another place I've mentioned on here before is Kubo Garden over in Hackney Wick.
Mm-hmm.
And they have what is it called? The Pandan Coconut Cloud. And it's got like a foam on top, and it's a nice cold drink. And then also, I even noticed like Black Sheep Coffee is doing like a pandan culture as well. It's
everywhere.
It's the summer of pandan.
Summer of pandan.
And then, not to drink but to eat, is the pandan coconut bread at a place I've almost mentioned on practically every episode this year that I just haven't. And that's a bakery in Chinatown called Mrs. Bakery. I think we went there together.
We bought there after Sam Howe. Yeah, we did some noodles. I mean, yeah.
It's
remarkably cheap, great value,
it's
huge value. Variety.
It's you know, it's not going to be up there with, say, Panadera or Ansu, but it's very reliable and very, very good. And their pandan coconut bread is good, is great, actually. So is their black sesame rice bread and their black rice mochi bread. And they've just got always something new and different there. It's a really nice, very popular little bakery. If I know I'm going to be hungry, but not sure what my options are going to be later, I might just go grab some things there for a snack later or breakfast the next day.
Yeah, I was saying it was incredibly well stocked with all sorts of mysterious things, but because they were such sensible pricing.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's
a good place to just. Try something out that you maybe never had an opportunity to, like a flavor.
I know like one of those flavors. I don't know the other. And then let's give that a go. So yeah, that was.
So that was really nice, man. So yeah, those are my pandan moments. What about you?
Yeah.
Have you eaten anything good?
It's been an interesting few weeks actually in terms of.
Do tell.
We went down to Hythe, on the Kent coast. With some friends, found that there's a
you know, when I was working as a model, Kent Coast was my my name. Yeah. Kent Coast, here to model for you.
It's
a selection of swimwear.
That's I now there is a visual in my mind which I Mantra is not getting rid of it.
No.
It's it's a little very unassuming two Michelin style restaurant.
Two Michelin style
in Kent. Hadn't heard of it. Some friends found it. It seems to have just kind of sprung up under the radar. Wow. Has been there 5 or 6 years. Very straightforward, very simple. Look, place called Saltwood, just north of Hythe. It's run by a chef, Alistair Barsby, and their front of house is Alice Boosey, and it's their project. It was just lovely. It was just really, really nice. Hythe and Fox. I'm not sure why. I'm sure there's a very, very good explanation, but I haven't worked it out yet. Really unassuming.
Fun to do.
Very good value. Just nice. And not, I think we've mentioned before where we this year have been to a few interesting Michelin star places and was not becoming averse to Michelin stars, but just it's not the sort of thing you necessarily want to do all the time. This is very, very approachable, big celebration of British ingredients. Kent produce is great.
It is.
So at the moment,
it's a bread basket of England, isn't it?
It is, I believe. Strawberries at the moment are insanely good.
Dude, I forget which supermarket I went to, but I got some strawberries. They're like apples. They're like small apples. And you think the bigger the strawberry, the less flavor. But no, these are really yummy and juicy. And it's amazing.
The sun and the weight and the rain and the combination, just it's been mad extremes of weather. But yeah, British strawberries at the moment are as good as anything you're going to find.
Yeah, but just like a typical supermarket, I was blown away.
Yeah, like 99p a punnet or something.
I had one. I was like, I'm just going to eat this now. It was like eating like a peach or an apple.
They're incredible.
Huge.
They are absolutely incredible. Yeah, make the most of it because it doesn't happen very often. So that was fun and, so quite good value. Also fun in a very glamorous style. Actually, went to the car. 45 Park Lane. Very nice hotel. So Wolfgang Puck's restaurant.
Known for steaks, isn't it?
Known for steaks. But they've got to introduce a little fish and chip menu.
Hello.
Which is, and some really good value things. And particularly popcorn cockles, which obviously is my new...
Was that your
model name? That's my new drag name. Yeah, or my new clown name.
Hello, popcorn cockles.
I need children's entertainer name.
I'll be your children's entertainer.
If I was allowed to be a children's entertainer, which I don't think I am. Popcorn Cockles. Eight quid for a plate of food on Park Lane.
Oh my God.
Which is pretty much unheard of. As you mentioned earlier, I think, yes, if you did go in there, chances are you're also going to spend 20-odd quid on a glass of champagne each and whatever else. But for the postcode, for the experience, for the generosity of portion, and I'm sure there's a joke here as well, incredibly good value. Really, really impressed with that. I think there is, I'm going to have to keep a list of good value snacking, I think, across London, and we've often mentioned things by the slice, and there's a lot of good stuff, and the odd little baked goods that are just kind of relevant.
Mrs. Bakery that I mentioned is a good one. I think last time we both had gone to Vincenzo's. Five quid for a cheese slice, great value.
We recorded at Breadstall. I find myself in Breadstall on an alarmingly regular basis, in a world where a very boring Pret a Manger sandwich is going to set you back about 12 quid by the time you bought the coffee and the packet of crisps and anything else. Yeah. And throwing a bonus plate of cockles.
Wow.
Popcorn cockles. Breadstall, like 7-8 quid for a quarter.
Can you say that as if it was in a movie trailer?
Yeah.
In the world, where a Pret a Manger sandwich will set you back 12 quid. There is.
But we're in that world. We are very much in that world. Breadstall, I think. So I may have to come up with a little list or a little Instagram project. Talk about that for good value. And actually, on the subject.
And pizza, anything else?
On the subject of good value, finally, having been reading about them for a long, long time, ventured over. I don't know why I chose the hottest day of the bloody year to jump on the tube and head out to Shepherd's Bush. I went to Shepherd's Bush Market and the legendary Mr. Falafel.
I haven't been there in a very long time. Still there, still good. Huh?
Fantastic, delicious, medium.
Did you have the falafel?
I had a falafel. Okay. I had the basic entry-level falafel. There was a choice of about 8 different falafels and plates and wraps and whatever. There's 3 or 4 different sizes. The king size is about the length of a human arm. I had the medium one, £5.50. Absolutely delicious.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, £5.50. There we go.
There's a place in Camden that does really cheap but really good falafel just outside, like the World's End pub. I forget what it's called. Mm-hmm. It's really good too. And cheap, yeah.
So that was pretty good. And what about you? Eating?
Yeah, no. Well, let's bring it back down to the street level. I was recently in Peckham Rye, and was an opportunity for me to go back to Mexican Mama, which I think I mentioned before, close to Maine, where we had a great meal.
Yep.
Stocked up on some Mexican food provisions while I was there, and also some of their homemade tamales. Took them home, steamed them. They were amazing. Just looking for a break in my schedule to go back down there with a bigger bag.
Right.
So yeah, they're really good, man. And anyway,
a compliment.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd like to come back here with a bigger bag.
So I'll be back with a bigger bag. So that was for home, but also just around the corner, very close to Mexican Mama. In fact, I think Mexican Mama is either their supplier or they have the same supplier.
Fair enough.
It was a place called Taka. It's a nice little taco bar and a really nice cold beer, Modelo.
What more can you?
And
more can you ask?
Frozen margaritas and palomas. But just really good tacos. I had a few good tacos there. I would definitely go back. And the reason I was there was to see a show. This great venue called Eclectic. I think I mentioned them before about a show I'm planning to go to as well in a couple of months. A great little independent, quirky, avant-garde, alternative, whatever, music venue. And I was there to see Stephen O'Malley, who's one half of this band I know I've mentioned several times, with your son.
You have mentioned some.
So the sort of ambient black metal noise duo. This is just one of them. Same basic sort of let the guitar express itself to its fullness through kick-ass amplification without doing much else. but there's a real finesse and awareness to it. And it was great in a very small, intimate venue. It was so cool. Opening for O'Malley was Dawn Terry. Dawn as in early morning. Who kind of mixed feedback-y and looped accordion droning with poetry that felt like somebody's punching your face in a good way. It was just really impactful. Dawn Terry.
It sounds a bit like a cheese dream.
Look them up. Okay. Look them up. I think they're out of Newcastle, and they really like to express and found a great way to do it. I was really impressed. But yeah, Eclectic over in Peckham Rye is great. So that's kind of more underground, but also been seeing some good art. People around the world know, and I've been a fan since I was probably 13 or 14 years old, M.C. Escher, the great...
Yeah, this is on our...
Illusion...
Target list. Yes.
Artist. Huge show at Somerset House right now. All these works you've certainly seen on somebody's t-shirt or in some book you were looking at when you're getting stoned as a teenager or on somebody's poster or whatever, they're there. You get to see them in person. You can see, like, somebody actually did that with their fingers and their hands and minimal instrument. And it's great to see. And I mean, when I was a kid, I had this t-shirt. I wore it all the time. And it was a eye, but when you look into it, in the, like, the pupil is a skull. And I thought it was the coolest thing. I wore it all the time. And they've got that image there. It's an M.C. Escher image. It's a great show. Really, really great. And thorough. Popular to book if you don't plan to go.
Yeah, I've seen seen it pop up a lot on social media and on must see lists and that kind of stuff. You know, it's something. Yeah, and it looks like it's quite interactive as well, isn't it? It seems there's a lot.
You know, you can do like selfies and like sort of weird rooms and things.
Yeah.
I don't want to focus on the gimmicky stuff too. Just seeing the incredible artistry and how this artist, you know, just was doing his thing and sort of like culture seemed to find him, you know, and it's really cool to see how he just, you know, he's really popular now. Also very popular, something you can view this summer, and that is the film Backrooms. Creepy as fuck, but really, really good. I don't know how much you know about this film.
A little. I say I've explored some of the stuff on YouTube.
Yeah,
the,
it's from a YouTube series. Yeah. A young guy. He was 19 when he did the YouTube series. I think he's only 24 now after this film's come out. So very much rising star. Yeah.
Yeah. And this, is it liminal rooms? Is that the expression? It's just this kind of very, just oddly bleak and unsettling without really
like
knowing why.
Beige rooms that go to nowhere, but just keep going from nowhere to nowhere to nowhere. And just basically, there's like a portal. And it's not quite sure if it's another dimension, if it's a time loop or whatever. But something's going on. It creeps you out. Very mesmerizing. I think there's a sort of allegory to what's going on with... AI these days, not so much with the YouTube series, but definitely in the film.
Okay.
And just a fun movie, really interesting. Yeah. I really enjoyed it. Also, we didn't mention this when we were preparing for the show, but I've been watching Severance. I just realized, have you seen that?
And it's been on the watch list for a long, long time.
Yes.
It is also one of those shows that I think I will probably watch, and my wife...
Well,
probably refuse.
You know what? That's what I did. I started watching it, and I thought Angela was my partner's name is Angela, just like yours. Yep. But my partner was coming home.
We don't share an Angela. Yeah, we don't.
Usually,
we like each other, but not.
No, but she came home earlier than I expected, and I had already started watching this, but I was only like 5 or 10 minutes in. She's like, and I was like, well, we can start again. Do you want to watch it? And she's like, yeah. If you're watching that, I'll just watch it with you. And then we were hooked. There's two seasons. There's supposed to be two more coming out.
Yeah.
So a 4-season show, two of them already out on Apple TV. Uh-huh. It's so good. And I don't want to give anything away, but something about it reminds me of Backrooms. But it's also very funny and the character driven, and the characters are great and the actors are great. John Turturro, Christopher Walken, Patricia Arquette, Adam Scott, what's her name? Britt Lahr. the great, but I mean, just, it's really good. Yep. I mean, some of those names, you're just like, wow. And I won't tell you which two of those are in a romantic relationship together, because it'll blow your mind away when it happens. And it's incredible to see. And it is so
Yeah, sweet. It's one of those, I'm very aware that, yeah, funny, something we didn't mention in the run-up and the sort of prep talk for this episode. Stranger Things was a similar thing for me. I watched Stranger Things. Angela didn't. Then,
excuse me.
Just before season 5, a couple of other friends had mentioned how much they enjoyed Stranger Things, and they'd come to London to see the stage show, and Angela kind of caught up. And sort of, she's a binge watching queen of these things. I was thinking, oh, this is great. I can remind myself of some episodes of Stranger Things while she's watching them, and we'd be on season 1. I'd be tidying up email or something, and she'd be on like season 1, episode 3, episode 4. We'd go to bed, I'd go out the following day, come back in like some point in the afternoon, and she's now on season 3, episode 9 or something. And you're like, how is there even time? Are you watching them on twice this week? I don't know how she does it. But yes, so she called up, we watched season 5 together, and we went to see the stage production.
Oh, yeah, how's that?
It's terrific. Very satisfying in terms of bringing everything kind of full circle. It's a prequel.
Is there something out now, like a animated series?
I think, yeah, there's something else.
Yeah.
Yeah, they keep doing this. They keep throwing in animated things and stuff to all sorts of series and ongoing properties like that. There is a point I just got to switch off a little, but the stage thing, very, very good. Some amazing tricks. There's it's occasionally very funny. There's some really, really freaky bits, and you kind of go, did that just happen? Did I imagine that? And it kind of this fleeting little coup de théâtre, I believe is the expression. Remarkable slow motion sequence that just comes out of nowhere and incredibly clever. Spiders running across the stage at one point. I have no idea how they do that. Exploding rats, all sorts of stuff. It's very, very good. I guess because season 5 has been and gone, maybe the public interest for Stranger Things is waning, so I think it's only on for another few months.
Oh, okay.
If you are intrigued by it, it's really worth a look. And it's also interesting seeing, I would imagine, I would like to think it's inspired a few people to go to the theatre who wouldn't normally go to the theatre. It was a very different theatrical crowd.
Speaking of theatre, you've been...
Yeah, we also went to see, we saw Avenue Q, which I'd wanted to see for a long, long time. I was meant to see it years ago and was ill the day we had tickets, so I didn't make it. So it's... I did scribble down the name. So yeah, book by Jeff Whitty, music and lyrics by Robert Lopez and Jeff Marks. It's sort of New York-y relationship comedy thing, but with Sesame Street-esque puppets.
Yeah, I've seen the clips from it and everything.
Very clever, very funny, very rude. there's a puppet sex scene which defies description. Very, very clever songs, very occasional moments of poignancy. Everything you'd like to think we might have moved on after 21 years. I think it was 22 years, 2004, I think is when it came out before. And we clearly haven't. Life is still exactly the same. Humanity has not learned a damn thing. But the songs are very, very clever. It's really funny, and that I believe is just extended and is now running to January.
All right,
at the Shaftesbury Theatre. If you get a chance, and if you're not easily offended, heartily recommend.
Okay.
Very, very good.
Yeah, nice.
And the puppetry, just to watch people do that live on stage, is astonishing.
Wow.
Really good.
Wow. Being astonished, that might be a good note to end on. Yeah.
I think so. I don't think there's much else to...
What's that in the back?
To add. Good heavens. Are they playing our song? Oh. Am I playing our song? Yes. I would just add a little enub. And the year continues to be strange.
Can I find you, Neil?
Yeah. I'm not small, I'm quite easy to find. on social media wise, you can track me down at Dine Hard on Instagram, and nothing else actually. That's pretty much all I do. And what about you, Chris?
I still got some newer stuff on my blog, so I'll mention that, tchris.com. And then we both are at
allconsumedpod.com
and on Apple Podcast and Instagram at allconsumedpod.
So indeed,
give us a look. And thank you very much, Neil.
Always a pleasure.
Yeah, man.